Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
So we've been talking a little bit this morning about security. Let me ask you something, most of you, when was the last time anybody here fell down? You have to raise your hands, all right? Some of the younger ones can say, oh, that wasn't so long ago, I fell down, whatever. We older ones don't like falling. In fact, you know, falling can be pretty dangerous. And we've had one or two incidences here, unfortunately, when some of our folk have fallen. And we know some people have even broken limbs in the fall. And, you know, that kind of thing, you are so careful about and so concerned. And as you get older, I know as I get a little older, I try to avoid too many falls. People remind us when you get older that your bones don't mend as readily as when you were younger. So I think most people would not like to fall. We try to protect ourselves from falling. I was climbing down a set of stairs yesterday, and there wasn't any railing on the stairs. They weren't too high, but there was an older lady before me. I was just interesting how careful she was as she went down those stairs. She kind of turned sideways, and she made sure she put out her hand and hold on to a wall. You see, there's a wall near to one side, and, you know, there's nothing on the other side. Of course, I just kind of walked down like it's no big deal, you know, but you're still careful because nobody wants to fall. As much as we try to protect ourselves from falling physically, I think an area that brings great concern to people is the possibility of falling spiritually. You know, I know a lot of people who will not even trust Jesus Christ as Savior because here's their fear. I am afraid that I will try to start serving Him and one day fall. Pastor, it's not that I don't want to trust Jesus, but I am not sure I can do it. There are even Christians here today whose hearts are overwhelmed with fear of falling, and not even only fear, but sometimes the shame of having fallen. Well, this morning, out of the word of God, I have a word. For some of you, it's a word of hope and confidence that you can trust in the Lord your God. And for some of you this morning, unfortunately, it is going to be a word of rebuke. Because some of you have gotten comfortable with the idea of falling. Some of us have. You know what we do? We excuse ourselves. We have some age-old, useful cliches. We bring it out and we say, you know, but we are just human beings. And human beings are prone to fall. In a way, that is true. But I believe some of us use that as an excuse. And so we go out there deliberately and fall and say, but anyway, we're only human. Here's what God says to you this morning. You do not have to fall. You do not have to fall. You can serve God and you can live your life for God and you can walk through this life without stumbling or falling. Don't believe me? Turn in your Bibles to Jude. And let me show you what God says. Jude, the book of Jude, just before Revelation. All right, so better you start in the back of your Bible, and when you pass Revelation, right before Revelation is a book of Jude. Let me read to you from verse 20 down to verse 25. You listen and follow along in your Bibles. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Listen to this. No one to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Father, we come in your presence and we stand before this tremendous portion of Scripture. And we would ask you to speak to our hearts from it. Help us to hear you. Help us to understand your word. And help us to live by it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Upon the authority of this portion of the word of God, I submit to you, if you're a child of God, and if you're somebody contemplating serving God, I want to suggest to you, out of this portion of Scripture, that you can serve God successfully. You do not have to fall. I hope that that will set some of you free, because there are a lot of people who struggle with whether or not they can trust God with their souls. Now let me start at the bottom of the portion. We're going to start at verse 24 and 25 and then go back up to verse 20 and following. But in verse 24, do you see that great claim and promise? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, I love that. The Bible is saying God has the capacity to keep you from falling. God desires to protect you from stumbling and falling as a Christian. In fact, the word keep there means to guard. It's like you ever walk with a child, or you see a child walking, and you kind of walk behind your child, because the child just learning to walk, and if the child stumbles a little, you reach out and grab him. It's the idea that God is there, and his desire is to keep you from stumbling. And the Bible says he is able to present you before his presence faultless. That you can stand before God with nobody having anything to put against your account. Wow. God is able to do that. Now, why is God able to do that? Because the Bible tells us that he's the only wise God. You know what that means God does? God is wise enough not to put before you any temptation that you can't handle. Now listen to me, Christians, because this is such a profound truth. It is an amazing truth, and yet it is one that sometimes rises up and condemns us. Do you know why? Aren't there many times in our lives when we falter? And we do things which we know are not what God wants. And yet the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Let me stop here for a minute. Sometimes you are going through your difficulties and you think, Pastor, nobody else has ever had it like this. And when you think that way, here's what you do. You say to yourself, you know, if I fall, if I don't bear it properly, then it's because more has been asked of me than has been asked of anybody else. So then nobody could expect me to do this. You know, if I walk inside here and I say to everybody, I pick up a 5-pound weight, and everybody's picking up a 5-pound weight, and when you come up, I pull out a 200-pound weight and say, pick it up. You say, Pastor, why you do that? That is unfair. Everybody else get 5 pounds, you give me 200 pounds. You know what God says? The difficulties you face and the challenges you face are challenges that other people face in life too. Now, I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what you're going through. But God is saying the challenges that you face are the ordinary challenges of human life and existence. Now, what does that do? That encourages you, because here's what God is saying. Other people are dealing with the same challenges. So don't use the severity of your struggle as an excuse. God, the temptations you face are common to man. But here's something else. God does not allow you to be tested beyond your capacity. Oh, I wish that we really understood that and believed it. You know what God is saying? Sir, madam, you're going through a hard time right now, aren't you? And sometimes you're saying, Pastor, this is more than I can bear. And God says to you, no, it is not more than you can bear. If it were more than you can bear, it would not come your way. God would have stepped in and moved it away from you. And that is why God says, I'm able to keep you, because I am standing guard over you, and I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able. Let me pick on one of my nieces. She's much older now, but I remember her as a little child. Both of them. You know, sometimes we live up on a hillside. Don't you know where we grew up as children? And I remember, you know, our parents would go to the market and they would come back from the market and the stuff would need to be taken up to the house. And our little nieces would run down to, you know, and I'm talking about Jodie and Sean, as I call their name. And they would say, you know, they wanted to carry something up, up over the hill too. And, you know, if you gave them something small, they didn't really want to carry something small, they want to carry something big. So, you know, we would, you know, would give them a big head of lettuce. It's big. And they're proud of carrying something big. But guess what? Now she finds out the secret. It's not very heavy. No, it looks big. But you see, the heavier things, we make sure that, you know, we carry the heavier things. And we give them, you know, something that they can manage. Let me ask you something. If we as human beings, sinful human beings, have enough wisdom to do that to children, what about the Almighty God? The all-wise God. And that is why God says, when a challenge comes your way, if you could not bear it, I would not allow it to come your way. God is able to keep you from falling because he does not allow more in your path than you can manage. But get this now, God even goes further. Not only does God protect you from challenges which are beyond your strength, but here's what God does. God himself gives you strength. That is why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, 13, I can do. No, that's not what is there. I can do. You hear what you're saying? I can do all. Now, some of you mark out the word all in your Bible, you know. And some of you have most things. Because there are some things over here that you say, Pastor, me can't do that. And some of you have, you won't go as far as most. Some of you have some things. You're giving yourself more leeway. And God forbid, some of you have, I can do a few things. Can it get worse? Some of you have, I can do no thing. All right? Pardon the stress and the emphasis. I know it's not proper English to stress it so. But there are some of you who believe you can do nothing. But God says, and Paul cries out, I can do whatever it takes through Christ who strengthens me. And God is saying, when you face the difficulties, he comes in. Something I could, you see, I could give my niece a light load to carry. But you know what God says? Even when I give her the load, I get inside your body and I strengthen you. I couldn't get inside my niece's body and strengthen her. I could only give her something like, but God says, I give you something that you can manage, and to ensure that you don't fall, I get inside you and I give you the strength that you need. If that is true, and the Bible says it, you don't have to fall. God will sustain you. You can trust God to sustain you. I'm saying to you, when God speaks to your heart about trusting him as Lord and Savior, trust him, because God can keep you from falling. Child of God, when God calls you to live for him, believe him, because God can keep you from falling. May I suggest that God is not only able to keep you, but God is eager to keep you. Where do I get that idea from? Look at verse 24 again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know that says, God says, I want to present you before my throne with celebration. God is saying, I want to have a celebration when you get before glory. And he says, I am eager to have that celebration because it brings me great joy. The football season is upon us. I haven't gone to watch any games yet. But I heard the news. All right, I won't say too much on the news this weekend that my former school won a game. Glory. Hey, you know, I don't know how the rest of it has been progressing yet. But you know what? When I go to a football game that my school, old school, is playing at, I eagerly anticipate them winning. And, you know, if I will them, in my mind, I want them to win. I would do anything I could to get them to. You know why? I want to be able to celebrate at the end of it and give each other a high five like it's we scored the goal and it's we win the game. You know what? I hope I'm not being too flippant. God wants to give you a high five when you get to heaven. God wants to be able to celebrate with you, to rejoice. And so God says, I eagerly want you to triumph, to do well. So when you get to heaven, you see, because the book of John tells us we can walk into his presence with shame. But God doesn't want that. God wants you to walk in his presence, and when he sees you, he can say, good job, wonderful, let's have a celebration. And that is why God is eager to keep you. And the Bible tells us in Jude here that God is able to keep you from falling, and God is eager to keep you from falling. Therefore, you can trust him with your life. But hold on, because there is a danger that some of you think, well, if God can keep me, wonderful, then I just kick back and I do nothing. Therein is a challenge that we have. If God can keep us, why is it that some of us fall? Because in this portion in Jude, the Bible does accept the reality of falling. In fact, the whole of the first few verses, from verse 1 to verse 19, is talking about people falling. The Bible says, one of the reasons Christians fall, because there's real danger, he says, even in the church, there are some saboteurs, some people who come in here acting like they are people, they are one of us. But all they're trying to do is get you to trip up. They are trying to get you to fall. And the Bible says, watch out. Ungodly men have crept in unawares. And they pretend that they're on your side. But every chance they get, they put banana peel before you so you will slip. And so there's a real danger. They grease the staircase. And you don't know that there's any grease on the staircase. They tell you that they're just, you know, cleaning it off for you. When they're spreading grease, hoping to trip you up. So there is real danger that people can fall. In fact, it goes even further. The Bible says in verse 17, remember that even the apostles of our Lord prophesied that people are going to fall away from the Lord. Here's why this is so important. You know, sometimes we read in the scriptures that certain things are going to happen. And because we read that they are going to happen, we just say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. You ever take that approach? You ever hear that reasoning? You know, and Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, it is impossible but that offenses will come. He says, offenses will come. People are going to do wrong. But get this, woe unto him by whom the offense comes. So God is saying, here's what God is saying. Of course, people are going to fall away because there's danger out there. Of course, people are going to fall away. It has been prophesied that it will happen. But you don't have to be in the lot. God says, no, there's something you can do to ensure that you are not in the lot. Now, you know what it is? Just pretty basic. In verse 20 to verse 23, the Bible says, as a Christian, if you don't want to fall, you are going to have to strive for sanctification. Let me just say that again. The first thing you have to do is to be prepared to trust God to keep you. Believe that God is able to keep you. But once you believe that, the next responsibility is for you now to choose to pursue sanctification. You can't just kick back and say, all right, I'll do nothing. Because if you do that, you are definitely going to fall. But if with all your energy and your heart, you are pursuing growth in the Lord, progression in your faith, God says as you progress, you will find out that you're moving further and further and further away from falling. You see, you'll be so busy growing, you won't have time to fall. That's what God is saying. Now, how do you pursue this sanctification? There are five things God says you have to do. Look at them very quickly. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. God says, no, one, pursue growth. It's interesting to me that there's a contrast implied in the starting of the verse. You notice the word that the verse starts with? It starts with but. But here's what God is saying then. Something else was going on. But what was going on? He was describing how the traitors and the ungodly people live. He says, beloved, remember in verse 17 the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days who walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Here's what he's saying. If you are going to pursue holiness, you are going to have to turn your back on fleshly living. The Bible says there are some people who live as if God doesn't exist. Or it's not that they don't know the truth. The Bible says they scoff at it. It's the people who know that what I am doing is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways. Boy, those times are upon us. There are lots of people outside there in the world that you hold up the word of God to them and they say, I don't believe that. How do you respond? And then I said to you, you know, where do you live? And you told me. I said, I don't believe that. How do you respond? If I said, what's your age? And you told me. Maybe I would be right to say, I don't believe that. You know, because depending on who I ask. But let me ask you something, though. My failure to believe what you have said, does that change a fact? True. It doesn't change a fact. What kind of emotion does it evoke in you? My belly could be a frustration and some anger because I'm calling you a liar. Yeah? Let me ask you something. When God speaks to us and we say, I don't believe that. Well, one thing, you don't change a fact whether or not you believe it because it's true. Here's the other thing. How do you think God feels about that? You've just called him a liar. And I'm saying to us as Christians, especially believers, we can't take up the word of God and show you the word of God and you choose to live as if God didn't speak. God has spoken. And so God is saying, no, if you're going to live for me, you cannot continue to embrace fleshly living. You can't live according to how you feel and how you think in your mind. He says that is how the ungodly world lives. But if you want to keep from falling, you now must build yourself up in the faith. God says, you must begin to read the word of God, hear it, and do it. That's what James says in James chapter 1. Beloved, can I just tell you this? It's so obvious. If you're hearing the word of God and obeying it, the devil can't knock you off your feet. The trouble is, there are too many of us who want to go on living as if we're not saved. And that is part of the reason we fall so easily. Because we're walking over on the slippery side of the path. Rather than getting as far away as we can from the slippery edge, we're walking as close as we can to it. It does not surprise me that we fall. But God says, if you want to be a Christian who will not stumble, you must be somebody who must pursue growth. You must be somebody who says, I want to be growing. I want to be getting in the word of God. I want to be reading it. I want to be understanding it. And I want to be obeying it. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Then the Bible says, not only should you build yourself up in your holy faith, but you are to pursue prayer. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I like that. No, let me just answer something right there. Praying in the Holy Ghost here has nothing to do with praying in tongues, all right? There are some people who are going to think, well, it's praying in tongues. No, all God is saying is pray to God fervently and honestly as the Spirit of God directs you. Remember, the Bible tells us in Romans that Romans 8, we don't know what we should pray for in the way we should. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And so the Bible is saying, no, when you pray in the Spirit of God, God directs you to pray for what God wants in your life. You know something? You and I have a powerful weapon called prayer, and we take it light. You know, I don't think you and I recognize how powerful this weapon is that we have called prayer. Can I just show you two examples of how powerful this weapon called prayer is? Do you remember our Lord Jesus Christ on the night before he was to be crucified? It was a time of great conflict for him. In fact, the Bible says he turned to his disciples and said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He says, my heart is so heavy I feel like I could die. And what does he do? Does he go off and sit in a corner and mope? He He says, tarry here with me while I go and pray. That should give us a little hint. Jesus Christ, when he was facing a situation that in a way, if he could stumble, would cause him to stumble, because he goes to his father and said, Lord, I do not want to drink this cup. Lord, I do not want to go through with this. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And he spends the time in prayer. You know, he came and went a couple times, 2-3 times. The Bible says he prayed such an intensity that his sweat came out as great drops of blood. But you know what is amazing to me? After Jesus is done praying, watch him the rest of the way through his crucifixion. The agitation, the distress, everything is gone. Jesus is extremely calm. So when the soldiers come to arrest him in the garden, and they said, where is Jesus? He said, here am I. Take me and leave the others. Peter draws out his sword and walk after a man's head. And the man ducks him. And he cuts off the ear. And Jesus just said, Peter, put up your sword. What are you going on with? And he picks up the man's ear and he puts it back on. What a calm Lord Jesus. They drag him off. And they're going to try him. And everybody, all Jerusalem is in an uproar. Pilate is in an uproar. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And Jesus stands there calmly, not saying a word. Pilate says, sir, you don't understand what's going on. These people want your head and I have your life in my hand. Beg me, say something to me. And Jesus said, you don't have any, you have no authority over me. What has been determined has it been determined. You know what the Lord is saying? I've been to my Father in prayer. I am fine. I can go through with this because I've gone and I've been honest with my Father. I have prayed in the Spirit. I have opened my heart up. I have told my Father what I feel like, what my desires are. But then I've said to him, Lord, your will be done. You know, if some of us would learn to pray like that, be honest with God. You know something? You don't have to butter it up and sugar up God, you know. You can't pull a fast one over on God. And some of us take these eloquent words to cover our true feelings before God. And God just said, be honest with me, no man. Because I already know what's going on in your heart. But the thing is, you be honest, but you're humble, you're submissive to his will. And so Jesus, when he faced his great hour of struggle, he resorted to prayer. May I give you one more example of the power of prayer? When Peter was going to get in serious trouble, Jesus said to him, Simon, Satan has demanded you to sift you like wheat. He's going to take you and shake you up. It's going to be rough. But here's what Jesus said. I have prayed for you. Amazing. Jesus knows the depth of the testing that Peter is going to go through. It is going to shake Peter to the very root of his being. And all Jesus does for him, all Jesus does for him, is pray for him. And then Jesus has the absolute confidence to say to him, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You know what Jesus said? I've prayed for you. You go and get through it. You understand the power of praying to God in your challenges? And those, if you and I would spend a little more time in prayer, we wouldn't be down on our stomach so much if we spend it on our knees or on our backs when we fall. And so God is saying, pursue growth. Be a Christian who wants to grow. Be a Christian who spends time in prayer. Then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. All God is saying is, stay close to God. You know, it's amazing. God gives you the choice of determining how close you will walk to him. Do you know that you as an individual, you choose how close you will walk to God? God invites you to come into an intimate relationship. He says, hey, you can come and lean on my breast, on my shoulders. You can be very, very intimate with me. You can be as close to me as you want to be. The trouble is, many of us stay far away. We're only out on the edges. We just want to barely identify with him and see if we can get a little of the blessing, but see him over there. So, and the Bible says, when you walk afar off, you're likely to get into trouble. You know, at the risk of overdoing the Peter example, Peter got into trouble. He followed the Lord afar off. He decided he was going to go and see what was going on, but he wouldn't walk close. And there are some Christians today who we choose. We will walk with the Lord, but we're not going to walk close. Because you see, when we walk close, we have to walk too pure. That is what we think. But let me tell you this. If you don't walk pure, you go and get yourself in trouble. You know, recently, because some of us think we can sanitize sin, you know, we can't sanitize it. If it's wrong, it's just wrong. Just recently, they had an outbreak of a disease called E. coli in the United States. And you know, people, it's something that could give you a running belly and could damage your kidney and eventually kill you. It's dangerous. And you know, people got it amazing by eating spinach. Spinach is normally a healthy thing. But here's what, the spinach got contaminated. And there is nothing you can do with the contaminated spinach to make it proper to eat. In fact, they say, you can't wash off the disease because it has gone up in the leaves or the very fiber of the thing. You can't wash it off. You could probably try to cook it, but maybe when you cook it, when you're processing the thing, you could use it to contaminate something else. That, you know, one of your plate, one of your knife, and still get the bacteria. So you know what they say to you? The only safe thing to do is for right now, don't eat any spinach. That's in the U.S. We don't have to worry. We don't eat spinach down here. We eat callaloo, so fine. But here's the point I'm making. When it comes to living for the Lord, you cannot decide that I can take a little sin and wash it off and use it and I'll be fine. No matter what you do with it, the seeds of destruction are already in there. It will knock you off your feet. So you need to walk far from sin and walk close to God. That's what God is saying. There needs to be that desire in your heart to live close to Him. Very quickly then, you are to pursue growth. You are to pray earnestly in the Spirit. You are to stay close to God. And then he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Bible saying, anticipate the coming of our Lord. Do you know, I find every time in the Bible, when God wants us to walk holy, God says, remember Jesus soon come. I think that's great motivation, because he's saying, you know why most of us sin? We think we'll have enough time to get it right before the Lord comes. You know, the Bible is saying, you don't know. Our Lord Jesus Christ could step in before I finish this service. And that is why John said in 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And everywhere you read the scriptures, the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ is close to hand. Live right. If you and I will bear in mind that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, it will help us to walk close to God. Do you bear in mind each day as you go that Jesus Christ could come back today? Sir, madam, you who say, well, I trust Jesus Christ later, give me a couple years, pastor. I wish I were able to do that, but I don't know. The Bible tells me that there is nothing that needs to happen before Jesus Christ could come back. He could come back before I give the invitation this morning. Would you be ready? You understand what you're saying? That when you have that kind of sense that you're about to meet your Lord, you want to live right. And the last thing the Bible says you must do is to rescue others. It's interesting. You know, God says, pay some attention to how you live. And then he says, verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. The Bible suggests that there are going to be some Christians who will need your help. Some Christians who are wavering, kind of, pardon the expression, wishy-washy. And some of you here are like that. You know the Lord as Savior, you know, but you're not really going anywhere positive. 1 minute you're hot, the next minute you're cold. 1 minute you're up, the next minute you're down. You're just kind of, you're not even sure. Am I to commit myself to this fully? God says those of us who want to serve Him need to turn around and challenge the others and say, follow God fully. Go the whole way. Okay, you know something? Helping others helps you. You know, if I'm going to counsel somebody, I have to make sure I know what I'm going to counsel them, sir. So you're going to force me to get into the Word of God. Have you ever had to teach anybody anything? Have you noticed that in preparing to teach the person, you learn so much more? Because you have to make sure you know what you are about. And you know, when you were learning it, you didn't even have to worry too much because you kind of half catch it. But the people you're teaching are going to ask you some questions. And God forbid the teacher don't know. So here's what we're saying. If you're going to help others, it will promote your own growth because you have to mature in the Lord yourself to help. And then the Bible says you help people who are unsaved. And it says even as you do that, it helps you also by creating a hatred in you for sin. Because it says hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It says when you look and see what the flesh can do to people, you go and say, my goodness, I don't want to get in that. And he kind of stir you up and says, stay far from that. You know, I've watched people who are trapped by smoking. There are some people who know they are dying. Heard about a man who went to hospital and the doctors had to remove a piece of his lung because of what smoking had done to it. And after surgery, before he got out of hospital, he asked his wife to bring him some cigarettes. And the doctor said, you might as well give him because he's not going to change. If he got this far and decide he still want it, well. Amazing, isn't it? You know what that tells me? I don't want the first whiff. Anything that can trap you so much that you are dying, you just cut out a piece of your lungs because of the thing. You're not even fully recuperated yet. And you want it. The Bible says no. When you begin to get in those circumstances, and you know what? They talk about scaring people straight. Sometimes some of us need to get back out there and see what sin does to people. We wouldn't fool around with it again. It's a dangerous, destructive thing. And God is saying, no, if you want to be a Christian who will not stumble, you need to trust God because God is able to keep you. You can put yourself completely in his care. But then God says, no, you now must strive for maturity, for sanctification. It is a partnership between you and God. And God says, any person who seriously desires to live for me, I will keep him. That's God's promise. See what that says to me, friends? If you and I find ourselves slipping and sliding all over the place, the fault is not God's. It is not God's fault. It is because you and I are still at a place where we don't want to become what God wants us to become. We want to kind of live on the edge. And God is saying it can't work. You commit yourself to living fully for God. And watch God keep your heart and life. God is able, willing, eager to keep those who will be true to him. I wonder today if you are true to him. As you look at your own life, where are you before God? Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me? And as you get ready to talk to the Lord in prayer for just a moment, let me speak to the Christians first. Are you here, child of God, brother, sister, and God spoke to you? And you're saying, Pastor, I've been stumbling all over the place. And now I understand why. It's not because God can't keep me. It's because I haven't been keeping my end of the bargain. And this morning, by God's grace, I want to trust him. And I want to start striving for consecration, for sanctification, for holiness. I want to pursue growth with the Lord. I need to get more in prayer. I need to be somebody who stays close to the Lord. I want to keep before my mind the fact that my Lord is soon returning. Pastor, I want to be reaching out and helping others. By God's grace, this is what I want to be. Would you pray for me? I would be so happy to do that. God bless you. Others of you, God bless you. God bless you. Just raise your hand, take it down. God bless you. I see that. God sees your heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if there are some today who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Some of you may even have been afraid to trust the Lord because you don't know if you can keep it out. And God is saying to you, hey, listen, I can keep you. If your heart is sincere before me, and if you're willing to obey me, just trust me, and I will keep you. You're saying, Pastor, God has given me a word of hope. I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, but I would like to trust him today. Would you pray for me? I'd be so happy to do that. Will you just raise your hand where you are, take it down. I'll see it. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Others of you know you need to trust the Lord. Do I need to just pray for you? Father, we are in your presence and we thank you for your word and we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who takes the word of God and makes it live to us. There are some folk here who need to do business with you. I thank you for each one who has raised a hand. And Lord, I pray now that by your grace, you would help them to be yielded to you. Lord, I pray that by your grace, you would help them to obey the Spirit of God. Give them courage. Give them humility. Give them the wisdom to take that next step. And in these next few precious moments, oh God, may the Spirit of God complete the work he has begun. And for some who are still struggling, bring them to that place of real and true surrender to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.